Jobless claims rise, and so does the price we're paying for things.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The number of people seeking first-time unemployment benefits rose slightly last week by 9,000 claims. We also got word from the government this morning that the Consumer Price Index, a gauge of consumer inflation, was up about 0.5% in July. Michelle Meyer is senior economist at Bank of America Merrill Lynch Global Research, and she's with us live now from New York to talk about that latest economic data. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
So the number of people filing for jobless benefits is now above that 400,000 mark again at 408,000. Why is that 400,000 threshold so important?
I think it's important because it symbolizes that the labor market is healing very slowly. But typically, when you pass that 400 level, at least in the past 10 years or so, it's suggestive that the unemployment rate can actually increase further.
The four-week average was down, though, and that's supposed to be a bit more reliable. Your assessment, if you will, of what the national unemployment picture looks like at the moment?
It's still elevated. The unemployment rate stands just above 9%, and I think the risk is that it increases further from here. I don't expect to see a big spike further in unemployment, given that we're already at such high levels. But it's worrisome because demand is slowing in the economy, consumers are pulling back, the financial market has certainly been deteriorating. So there's a lot of downside risk to the economy right now, which hurts confidence and restrains hiring.
We also got these inflation numbers, Michelle, that showed we're paying a bit more for goods. Should a possible recession combined with inflation be a concern down the road?
It can, ultimately, if it's sustained. But in my view, the higher prices won't be able to persist in an environment where you have such high unemployment because consumers won't accept those higher prices.
They're just not going to buy.
They're not going to buy, or they'll substitute away to other types of goods. And with wages remaining very low, it won't set into sentiment. So we're still very far from a wage price spiral, which is what you would need to get in order to see a stagflationary environment.
Michelle Meyer from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Michelle, thanks.
Thank you.
ATM fees are nothing new, right? But your bank may start charging you just for the privilege of using that debit card anywhere. There's news this morning that one bank is testing a monthly debit card fee of $3 in some markets. And Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon is with us live here in our Los Angeles studio with the latest on that. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Steve.
So who's doing this and why?
Well, now Wells Fargo is going to try this out in a handful of states, Washington, Oregon, New Mexico, Nevada, and Georgia. It's joining Chase, which is also running a $3 a month pilot in Wisconsin, and at least a couple of other regional banks have imposed $4 or $5 fees. I talked this morning to banking industry analyst Bert Ely. He explains they're doing this after the new regulation that reduced how much banks can charge merchants for each debit card transaction.
Banks are trying to make it up someplace else. They need to generate X amount of revenue in order to cover the expenses of providing services to customers.
So it seems consumers still got stuck with the bill. Wells Fargo says it's going to closely monitor how the guinea pigs in these five states respond to this new fee before deciding whether to go ahead and roll it out nationwide.
What if I don't want to pay this, Bob? How do I avoid it?
Well, Wells Fargo wants to make it $3 a month, so pony up right now. But it only applies if you use your debit card to make purchases. It won't cost you if you just use the card at ATMs or if you sign up for certain checking accounts. And Bert Ely told me he thinks those kinds of exceptions will be the rule.
What we may find is that the banks will basically say there'll be no charge if you utilize certain other services of the bank, such as direct deposit, maybe you have a credit card, a safety deposit box, things like that.
Isn't this going to make people use debit cards less, Bob?
Well, Ely told me it's too early to say. There will probably be some backlash, but it can cost a lot to use that other kind of plastic, too, in credit card interest charges. Maybe time to break out the old checkbook.
Oh, boy. Marketplace's Bob Moon here in the studio. Bob, thanks.
Thanks.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are down about 2 to 3% at the moment. Retailer Sears Holding, which includes Sears and Kmart, reported a bigger-than-expected quarterly loss. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on a mere 4 points to close at 11,410. We have special coverage exploring the current state of our economy called The Breakdown, Our Economy One Step at a Time. That is at Marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
The biggest brewer in Australia, Foster's, has rejected a $10 billion takeover from SABMiller, which brews Miller Lite and Coors. Foster says the offer was too low, but as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, the deal is a bit of a bargain hunting going on in a down market.
SABMiller has made its latest offer directly to Foster's shareholders, but the board has again urged investors to hang on for a higher price. Certainly, there's no shortage of money for takeovers in general. Corporations in the US and Europe have billions of dollars sitting on their balance sheets, and they should be itching to spend it now, before cash-trapped governments get other ideas and push up their corporate tax rates, says Mark Ostwald of Monument Securities.
We'd be better not to be too flush with cash, which will be taxed heavily, and rather put it to work in terms of investment than having it just handing it over meekly over to the tax man.
Ostwald says the recent slide in stock markets and the relatively cheap share prices make the takeover trail even more tempting. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, the Transportation Security Administration is trying something new at Boston's Logan International Airport. Screeners are training to engage with passengers more to detect suspicious behavior. They'll learn to make small talk with travelers to break the ice and foster a bit of trust. You know, a little conversation about the weather or that new Katy Perry song? Or a couple of benign questions about, where are you going? Or why are you going there? Or how come that bag has more than 3 ounces of liquid? Nice and friendly. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The national debt. It's a big, ugly number with a lot of zeros on the end. It's getting us into some trouble, too. So how do we feel about all that money we owe?
It's a necessary evil. It has to exist. It's what this country kind of runs on.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good debt, bad debt, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.